A1.
Number 4, B.
So actually, the true man, that which is the man in the image and likeness of God, is the outcome of God, the Word, the outcome of our Christ consciousness, the Christ. And so Paul could say that through the grace of God, I am what I am. He didn't say, I am that which I have inherited from my parents, from mortal manhood. He could see that man is the outcome of the Word and of the Christ, and that through the grace of God, I am what I am. And this is really the standpoint we should take, that we would consider only that to be man, which we have by the grace of God, by our conscious unity with the Word and with the Christ. So, in order to have a true Christianity, a true sense of manhood, we can see that all what is necessary is a correct sense of identification. First, in the Word, we must identify God correctly. Before we cannot define God as He is, we haven't found God as He is. So the first thing is that we have a right identification of God. Then, the second point is that we identify ourselves with that God. That's the true identification of ourselves as the Christ. That we identify ourselves of having the Christ Spirit within us. That result, now we come to the third side, to Christianity, to the outcome of the divine principle of the Christ study. This result in identifying ourselves rightly as the Son of God. So we also have to identify correctly and divinely what is man, and to identify ourselves with that man which is God's man. Jesus, for instance, never identified himself as a mortal. He never identified himself as a descendant from Adam. He always identified himself as the Son of God. His Father was God, and he had identified himself as the Son of God, never as the son of Mary or Joseph, never as a direct descendant of David, King David, or of Abraham, or of Adam. He didn't want to have anything to do with Adam. He only wanted to have anything to do with God, and identified himself as the Son of God, as having but divine qualities. Now, let us consider this question of immortal manhood and mortal manhood through the Bible. The Bible, which is the book of life, naturally must give us an answer to this most important question, what is man? And when we run through the whole Bible, we will see that the Bible is a great exposition of the true concept of man and the wrong concept of man, and how the wrong concept of man has to disappear so as that the true concept of man will appear. The Bible depicts how the false concept of man as Adam has to give way to the true concept of man as the Son of God, as Jesus, named himself to be the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He said, I am the Son of God. And he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He really took possession of his sonship with God. This big question of the mortal and the immortal man starts right at the beginning with the Bible, where the Bible presents two records of creation. The first record of creation from chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 3. Then afterwards, from chapter 2, verse 4 onwards, it presents the second record of creation. In the first record of creation, man is presented as the immortal idea of God. Man created in the image and likeness of God. The second record of creation shows mortal manhood, the nature and development of mortal manhood. And this is very interesting insofar as in this way the Bible presents us with this very actual question, what is man? Showing that from God's point of view, man is the image and likeness of God. That's the first record of creation. Then showing that mortals have a very different concept of man, that mortals did not accept the true concept of man, but that mortals believe since thousands of years that man is a mortal, a material, physical, fleshly structure. So the Bible starts with this proposition of perfect man in the first record of creation and imperfect, decaying man in the second record of creation. Then the whole rest of the Bible is a great explication of how the true concept of man must dominate the false concept of man, and how through the true concept of man, the false concept of man disappears and disappears and disappears until finally it is wiped out, and the true concept of man as the Son of God, represented by Jesus, is being shown forth as an actual reality, as an actual possibility which one can prove. So let us quickly look at these two records of creation and see how they are diametrically opposite to each other. In the first record of creation, God has another name than in the second. In the first record of creation, God is called Elohim in the Hebrew. In the English language, Elohim is translated as God. The second record of creation, the name of God is in the Hebrew Yahweh, and is translated into English as the Lord God. See, also the English has two different names for God. Elohim, or God, is a spiritual concept of God, whereas Yahweh is a tribal God, a sense that Yahweh is the tribal God of Israel, no more that universal spiritual God. Yahweh is an anthropomorphic concept of God. So you can see right away that two different concepts of God appear here as the creator of man. The first record of creation is a divine statement. A divine statement. Where it always is said, God said, let there be. Whereas the second record of creation is a mystical account of creation. In the first record of creation, God creates man and the universe without outward aid. Man and the universe is created by God, the divine principle himself. Whereas in the second record of creation, God is presented only, as I would say, as a half a portion, because he needed the aid of matter and mortals in order to create. He needed a rib, he needed an Adam to create Eve, and so on. He needed an outward help. In the first record of creation, everything is created from above, from God, from above. Whereas in the second record of creation, everything is created from beneath. In the first record of creation, the whole record starts with light. Let there be light. It starts, therefore, with understanding. Whereas the second record of creation starts with the mist, and the mist went up from the earth, with a mistiness of thought, with misunderstanding, with ignorance. In the first record of creation, man is depicted as the image and likeness of God. In the second record of creation, man is depicted very, very much differently, namely as being very earthly, taken from the earth, as material, as organic, as sinful, as lying, as dying, and as being cursed. That's no more an image of God. In the first record of creation, man is depicted to be spiritual, whereas in the second record of creation, man is depicted as being a mixture of matter and spirit. Man was formed from the dust of the ground, materially from matter, with the breath of life in his nostrils, with the breath of life, with something spiritual in matter. See, the first record of creation shows life in and of spirit, whereas the second record of creation shows life in matter. In the first record of creation, the whole creation was perfect, whereas the second record of creation, the Adam record, is really a record of imperfection. It's an imperfect creation, full of sorrow, of sweat and agony, of nakedness, of cursing and of killing. So that we can see that the true record, or the first record of creation, is constructive, whereas the second record of creation is destructive. It has a destructive line in it. And whereas the first record of creation ends in a great fulfillment on the seventh day, the second record of creation ends when Cain was sent out of paradise and put into the land of Nod. Nod means, translated from the Hebrew into English, means dream. He was cast out into the dream land. See, whereas the first record of creation has a fulfillment, highest sense of fulfillment, the second record of creation ends in excommunication, in being cast out from the presence of the Lord. So that we really can see that the first record of creation is the true record, and therefore presents the true sense of man, whereas the second record of creation shows the imperfect, the false sense of man, namely a mortal, a dying mortal. This is the beginning of the Bible. And as I have said before, the rest of the Bible shows now how the first record of creation begins to leaven and to leaven and to leaven the second record of creation, by showing how a true consciousness of what man really is begins to have dominion over the false sense of manhood, so that the false sense of manhood begins to disappear and disappear, and the true sense of what constitutes man in the image and likeness of God appears more and more and more. Let me just quote a few passages from the Bible to show that all through the Bible these two different concepts of God were in the center of biblical writing, and how they show really that the man of the second record of creation was considered not to be the true man, that they considered the mortal as a deflection of the true concept of man. Isaiah, for instance, says, "Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of?" See, he said quite clearly, "Cease ye from the Adam man. Cease ye from that man which the second record of creation has told us. That Adam, which is made out of the dust of the ground and put the breath of life into his nostrils." He said, "Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Cease ye from that second record of creation. Don't take that second record of creation, as theology takes it, as the true concept of man, as the real concept of man, as a real concept of creation." He says, no, that is not the real record of creation. That's the false record of creation. And cease ye from that. In Psalms, we always have these two concepts of man compared to each other. For in one psalm, say in 103, it is said, "As for man," and with this naturally the mortal man is meant, "As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more." See, here the psalmist speaks about the Adam man and shows how decaying, how temporal he is. But the psalmist also had the true concept of man and says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." He could see that that man, which is the likeness of God, is satisfying, and that that is really the true concept of man, to awake in God's likeness. Therefore, to identify ourselves only as that which is the likeness of God is really identifying ourselves with the true concept of man. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. He said, I don't know any man who is fleshly. That's not man. That thing which is fleshly is not man. I don't know any man anymore after the flesh. I don't want to have anything to do anymore with that concept of man, which is corporeal, material, fleshly. Or he would say in Romans, they which are the children of the flesh, see again the Adam man, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. You know how often people say when they get a baby, that's a child of God, looks like an angel. And you just wait until they grow up, how much of an angel they are. But Paul didn't fool himself. He just said, they which are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. That's not men. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. He saw that the children of promise, with that he meant that only that which we know about the image and likeness of God, that only that has the right to be called man. Or Jesus never identified himself as a mortal. He never identified himself as that body who was born and who lived for 30 years. He said of himself, before Abraham was, I am. He identified himself spiritually. He said, I didn't start with Mary. I didn't start in an embryo. I didn't start with a birth. That's not where I start. Before Abraham was, I am. He could see as the Son of God, he was an eternal idea, independent of ancestry. Jesus said, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. See how he did away with the Adam, with the Adam dream and with the Adam descent. He said, ye are of your father the devil. Now when he was depicting mortal manhood, he said, mortal manhood has a father, but that father is the devil. He's not in heaven. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Now, I just took a few references from the Bible, from the Old and New Testament, just to show you how the Bible was aware of these two concepts of man, namely of mortal man and of immortal man, and how the Bible would point out over and over that mortal manhood is not of God, and therefore not to be accounted of as anything real and good. And that the only man really which we should have in consciousness is that which is of the nature of God, the outcome of the divine principle of the Christ idea. So, if man is the outcome of God, and as we know God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, we can now define man, really, as that which is the idea of mind, the idea of God, of spirit, the idea of soul, of principle, of life and truth and of love. Therefore, let us quickly see what man is. Well, as an idea of mind, therefore, or as a creation of mind, he is therefore of the nature of mind. He is idea. Man is an idea. He is therefore not like a mortal concept. As a creation of spirit, you see, we begin to see that man is spiritual, and therefore not like a mortal, fleshly, material, physical. As a creation of soul, soul is sinless. As a creation of soul, man is sinless, whereas a mortal is a sinner. Only the mortal is sinful, lustful, sensational, corporeal. That's the mortal. As a creation of principle, man is really a scientific, metaphysical proposition. A scientific, metaphysical calculus. Whereas a mortal is a person, a material person, with a personal will, with a personal ego, and all that, his personal sense. As a creation of life, man is eternal, deathless, undecaying. And only the mortal, which is not man, is temporal, is decaying, is organic, he has beginning and end. As a creation, say, of truth, therefore, man is divine consciousness. Man is divine consciousness. It is Eddie would say, man is the consciousness of God. That which God is conscious of really is man. Then, as a creation of love, man is perfect, complete, whereas a mortal is always a fallen state of consciousness, cursing, hating, being jealous, revengeful, etc. And in this way, really, you see how we can define the true sense of man as the creation of mind, of spirit, of soul, of principle, of life, and truth, and love. And whatever does not coincide with this true identification of man is not man, but that we call a mortal. All right, I will stop here, and then we'll go on next time on the concept of man.